First Chronicles 26, 12 through First Chronicles 27. To these divisions of the gatekeepers, to the chief men, were given duties like their relatives, to serve in the house of the Lord. They cast lots, the small and the great alike, according to their fathers' households, for every gate. The lot to the east fell to Shelemiah. Then they cast lots for his son Zechariah, a counselor with insight, and his lot came out to the north. For Obed-Edom it fell to the south, and to his sons went to the storehouse. For Shuppim and Hosa it was to the west, by the gate of Shelsheth, on the ascending highway. Guard corresponded to guard. On the east there were 6 Levites, on the north 4 daily, on the south 4 daily, and at the storehouse 2 by 2. At the annex on the west there were 4 at the highway and 2 at the annex. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers of the sons of Korah, and of the sons of Merari. The Levites, their relatives, were in charge of the treasures of the house of God, and of the treasures of the dedicated gifts. The sons of Laden, the sons of the Gershonites, belonging to Laden, namely the Jehielites, were the heads of the fathers' households, belonging to Laden, the Gershonite. The sons of Jehieli, Zetham, and his brother Joel, were in charge of the treasures of the house of the Lord. As for the Amramites, the Izharites, the Hebronites, and the Uzzielites, Shebuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was officer over the treasures. His relatives by Eleazar were Rehabiah, his son, Jeshiah, his son, Joram, his son, Zikri, his son, and Shelemoth, his son. This Shelemoth and his relatives were in charge of all the treasures of the dedicated gifts which King David and the heads of the fathers' households, the commanders of the thousands and hundreds, and the commanders of the army had dedicated. They dedicated part of the spoils won in battles to repair the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer had dedicated, and Saul the son of Kish, Abner the son of Ner, and Joab the son of Zeruiah, everyone who had dedicated anything, all of this was under the care of Shelemoth and his relatives. As for the Izharites, Shenaniah and his sons were assigned to outside duties for Israel, as officers and judges. As for the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his relatives, 1,700 capable men, were responsible for the affairs of Israel west of the Jordan, for all the work of the Lord and the service of the king. As for the Hebronites, Jerijah, the chief, these Hebronites were sought out according to their genealogies and fathers' households in the 40th year of David's reign, and men of outstanding capability were found among them at Jezer of Gilead, and his relatives, capable men, numbered 2,700 heads of fathers' households. And King David appointed them as overseers of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites concerning all the affairs of God and of the king. Now this is the number of the sons of Israel, the heads of fathers' households, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and their officers who served the king in all the affairs of the divisions which came in and went out month by month throughout the months of the year, each division numbering 24,000. Jashubim, the son of Zabdiel, was in charge of the first division for the first month, and in his division were 24,000. He was from the sons of Perez, and was chief of all the commanders of the army for the first month. Dodai, the Ahohite, and his division was in charge of the division for the second month. Mikloth, being the chief officer, and in his division were 24,000. The third commander of the army for the third month was Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, as chief, and in his division were 24,000. This Benaiah was the mighty man of the 30, and was in charge of 30, and over his division was his son Amizabad. The fourth, for the fourth month, was Asahel, the brother of Joab, and Zebediah his son after him, and in his division were 24,000. The fifth for the fifth month was the commander Shamhuth, the Israhite, and in his division were 24,000. The sixth for the sixth month was Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite, and in his division were 24,000. The seventh for the seventh month was Helez, the Pelonite, of the sons of Ephraim, and in his division were 24,000. The eighth for the eighth month was Sibekai, the Hushathite, of the Zerahites, and in his division were 24,000. The ninth for the ninth month was Ebiezer, the Anathathite, of the Benjaminites, and in his division were 24,000. The tenth for the tenth month was Maharai, the Netophathite, of the Zerahites, and in his division were 24,000. The eleventh for the eleventh month was Benaiah, the Pirathonite, of the sons of Ephraim, and in his division were 24,000. The twelfth for the twelfth month was Heldai, the Netophathite, of Othniel, and in his division were 24,000. Now in charge of the tribes of Israel, chief officer for the Reubenites was Eleazar, the son of Zichri, for the Simeonites, Shephatiah, the son of Maacah, for Levi, Hashabiah, the son of Kemuel, for Aaron, Zadok, for Judah, Elihu, one of David's brothers, for Issachar, Omri, the son of Michael, for Zebulun, Ishmaiah, the son of Obadiah, for Naphtali, Jeremoth, the son of Azrael, for the sons of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Azaziah, for the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joel, the son of Pedaiah, for the half-tribe of Manasseh in Gilead, Iddo, the son of Zechariah, for Benjamin, Jesiel, the son of Abner, for Dan, Azarel, the son of Jeroham. These were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. But David did not count those 20 years of age and under, because the Lord had said he would multiply Israel as the stars of heaven. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, had begun to count them, but did not finish, and because of this, wrath came upon Israel, and the number was not included in the account of the Chronicles of King David. Now Asmaveth, the son of Adiel, was responsible for the king's storehouses, and Jonathan, the son of Uzziah, was responsible for the storehouses in the country, the cities, the villages, and the towers. Ezri, the son of Shelub, was responsible for the agricultural workers who tilled the soil. Shimei, the Ramathite, was responsible for the vineyards. And Zabdi, the Shifmite, was responsible for the produce of the vineyards stored in the wine cellars. Baalhanan, the Gederite, was responsible for the olive and sycamore trees in the Shephelah. And Joash was responsible for the stores of oil. Shitrai, the Sharonite, was responsible for the cattle which were grazing in Sharon, and Shaphat, the son of Adlai, was responsible for the cattle in the valleys. Obil, the Ishmaelite, was responsible for the camels, and Jedeah, the Meronothite, was responsible for the donkeys. Jeziz, the Hagrite, was responsible for the flocks. All these were overseers of the property which belonged to King David. Also Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a man of understanding, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hachmoni, tutored the king's sons. Ahithophel was counselor to the king, and Hushai, the Archite, was the king's friend. Jehoiada, the son of Benaiah, and Abiathar succeeded Ahithophel, and Joab was the commander of the king's army. Matthew 17. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James, and his brother John, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter responded, and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you want, I will make 3 tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, and they were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, "Get up, and do not be afraid." And raising their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. When they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." And his disciples asked him, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" And he answered and said, "Elijah is coming, and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wanted. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him, and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, because he has seizures and suffers terribly, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was healed at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "Because of your meager faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were deeply grieved. Now, when they came to Capernaum, those who collected the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the 2 drachma tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax? From their sons or from strangers?" When Peter said, "From strangers," Jesus said to them, "Then the sons are exempt. However, so that we do not offend them, go to the sea, and throw in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a stater. Take that and give it to them for you and me." Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church, to do them harm. And he had James, the brother of John, executed with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter as well. Now these were the days of unleavened bread. When he had arrested him, he put him in prison, turning him over to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending only after the Passover to bring him before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made to God intensely by the church. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near Peter, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him, saying, "Get up, quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Put on your belt and strap on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And yet he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Now when they had passed the 1st and 2nd guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out, and went along one street. And immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod, and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. When he knocked at the door of a gate, a slave woman named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in the front of the gate. They said to her, You are out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so. They said, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, Report these things to James and the brothers. Then he left and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have become of Peter. When Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to execution. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. Now he was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. And with one mind they came to him, and having won over Blastus, the king's of chamberlain, they were asking for peace, because their country was supported with grain from the king's country. On an appointed day, after putting on his royal apparel, Herod took his seat on the rostrum, and began delivering an address to them. The people repeatedly cried out, "The voice of a god, and not of a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned when they had fulfilled their mission to Jerusalem, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. Proverbs 7:1-5. My son, keep my words, and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, You are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, so that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. Psalm 15. Lord, who may reside in your tent? Who may settle on your holy hill? One who walks with integrity, practices righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor do evil to his neighbor, nor bring shame on his friend. A despicable person is despised in his eyes. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He takes an oath to his own detriment, and does not change. He does not lend his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. One who does these things will never be shaken.